Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as
now,
you listen.
In that church family, you must determine that you're going to make a major difference. Amen. Every Christian, every member of a local church must determine that I am going to make a major difference in church family. Hallelujah. And to make a major difference means to have a significant and a positive impact in that church family. Not just significant, but positive. Because you can make a significant difference, but it is all negativity. Amen? So, if you are making a major contribution to the church family, what it means is that you are making a significant and a positive difference in that church family. It means that because of your attitude, your actions, your inputs, and your contributions, the church family is noticeably better than how it would have been if you were not there. Think about it. That you, because of your attitude, your behavior, your actions, your inputs, and your contributions, that church family is noticeably better. That's the kind of significant and positive impact that every member of a local church assembly must have. It is therefore an important question to ask yourself, that me at all, does my presence in this church family, does it make much of a difference? Does it? Do I make a significant and a positive difference? Do I have a positive and significant impact on this local church family? Don't think far. What is your local church family? Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. And if you think that you are here by chance, or by accident, or by a stroke of luck, you are thinking wrongly. Your presence here was divinely arranged and orchestrated by God. You may not have come in a spectacular way. You know? I think I was talking to you, Henry, on Sunday, and was telling me how you joined this church. Hey, you were just walking by and you saw the church. And, you know, initially it didn't really look impressive or anything. But you decided to come around. And then since you came, you felt like staying. Is that not so? And you don't think of going anywhere else. Can you see a difference in your life since you joined? You can see a big difference. All right. So how can somebody like Henry say that I was here by accident? It's God who brought you here. And if God has brought you here and added you to this church family, He has an expectation of you that you will make a significant and a positive, you will have a significant and a positive impact on this church family. Hallelujah. Now, God hasn't just called us to belong to churches and to be members of churches. And I'm saying this because the way we go about this church thing, it is almost like the way, you know, we relate to political parties and associations, you know, football clubs and what have you. You know, I support Chelsea. I support Manchester United. I support Barcelona. I support Arsenal. Real Madrid. Arsenal is winning the Premiership this year. Are you aware? Yeah. It's very, very clear. I hope so. I hope so. Because that's what they always do. They'll start giddy, 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 giddy. And then before long, they've degassed. But I really want them to win. I'm a Man U supporter. But I know that in 2,000 light years, Man U is not likely to win the championship. You don't agree with me. It's getting better, you see. We live to see. You know that sometimes Christians behave in that way in relation to the church. I belong to this, I belong to this, I belong to this. I belong to this political party, I belong to that political party. But you must understand that in your church family, it should be more than just I belong to. It should be more than just I am a member. It should be more than just registering and having your name in the church books. If you are part of a church family, a local assembly, you must contribute positively and significantly to everything that is going on there. Alas, most church members are satisfied and content to be on the fringes without doing much. They are happy with it. They are content with it. They are satisfied with it. And some of these people who don't do much in the church family, you should see them in other associations. You should see them there. There are some church members, they just come in, when they come for service, they come late. Just in church for 30 minutes, when we close, no, off, they go. Don't relate much, they don't associate much with anybody, they go. These same people, you should see them in their elements, in other places, in other institutions. It just shows something about you that you do not respect what you have, and you do not value highly the family that God has placed you in. And God, he never does anything by chance, and he never makes a mistake. If he's put you in a certain local church assembly, it is because he has plans and purposes concerning you, and his plans for your life are going to be fulfilled if you stay properly where he has placed you and where he's planted you. So may I say to each and every one of us that look beyond just being a member or belonging to a church family to becoming somebody who has a significant and a positive impact of the church family. And God has placed you here to join in the effort to build the church and help it to run well. That's why you're here, among other things, of course. But you are a part of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family, and for that matter, whichever church family you belong to, you belong to that family because God wants you to help to make the church work better, to help to make the church function well. Which is why we must all get to the place where we stop asking questions like, what would the church do for me? And instead, we must now ask the question, what can I do for the church? Because many people are always looking at what they can receive. There's a song we used to sing some time ago. It's our time to believe. It's our time to love and live. There was a time to receive.
Now it's time for us to give, standing hand in hand together. Let's reach out and touch our own. Can you hear the Spirit calling? It's our time.
I'm interested in the line of the song that says, there was a time to receive, but now it is time for us to give. And every child of God must rise to that place and to that level where you're not just thinking about what you can get and what you can receive, but your focus is more of what I can give. After all, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, which is a scripture that I am sure many Christians disagree with, because we've been used to always collecting, always receiving, always expecting more, always want things to be done for you, never satisfied with what is done, always ungrateful, always have a problem. You feel that more can be done. It's a very horrible attitude. And remember, people who are like that are not blessed. And they don't know why they are not blessed. But I'm revealing it to you, that if your attitude is one of you always want to receive, you always want to receive, and you don't even appreciate what has been given to you and what has been done for you, you will realize that no matter what additional things are done, your life does not become noticeably better. And it's the problem of the African continent. Always receiving aid all the time. Anytime our leaders travel, they go to receive things, collect things, negotiate for things. Sometimes we owe and we are going for debt cancellation. Abba!
It is a gaso, it's a comedy.
Is that a statement?
It is a gaso, it's a comedy.
It's a very sad truth. But the one who said so was involved in traveling around to go and beg for money and all of that. It's not a good attitude. And if you are part of a church family, determine that I will make a major difference in that church family, and I'm going to have a positive and a significant contribution. And I'll move away from that thing of, what are they going to do for me? What are they going to give me? What can I get from this? There are people who join churches because they want to be sure that when they die, a donation will be made. Hey, you are thinking of when you die, they will give contribution to your family to do your funeral. It is the last thing that you should be thinking about. When you die, you are not concerned at all about where they will put your body. If they like, they should put it in a box and go and throw it into the forest somewhere. That is the last thing you are thinking about. That's why a show are thinking, this road that I'm walking on, is it taking me to heaven or is it landing me in hell? Those are the things you are thinking about. You don't join a church because of welfare and all. I mean, all those things are important. Please don't get me wrong. But we should move away from making the secondary things the major things. Amen. So now, the question that is raised is, how can we make a major difference in our church families? How can we make a major difference in our church families? The first thing I shared with you is that see your church family as a living body and that you are an important part of it. So, again, see your church family as a living body and that you are an important part of it. If you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must see that church family as a living body. It's not a dead body, it's living. And you are an important part of it. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, which we read earlier, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Hallelujah. The church family is being compared to the physical body. That's what is being done. And the scripture is saying that just as the physical body has many members, so it is with the church family. Now, your physical body is a living body. It's living. So if the church family is being compared to that physical body, then it is logical to say that the church family is a living body. And it's not just logical, it's the reality. It's a living body because it is made up of living people. How many people are dead? As you are here right now, you are dead. Is there any dead person around here right now? No, you are living. So if you're a living person and you are part of a church family, so he's a part, it means that that body is living. So for you to make a major difference in your church family, understand that the church family is a living body and you're an important part of it. Just as every part of your physical body is important. Your physical body is made up of different parts. Now, some of the organs are called vital organs. Like what? Your heart, your liver, your kidney, your lungs, okay? Your brain. In fact, those parts of the body that are vital, if you check them out, you'll see that there's a certain protection that God has put around them. So your brain is protected by your skull, your heart, your kidneys, your lungs, your liver are protected by what? Your rib cage. So there's a reason for it. You have been carefully designed. And it is because those parts of your body are the most vital. That's why they are like that. But not every part of the body is a heart. And the fact that your leg is not the heart or your ear is not the eye does not make it any less important. So no matter how small that part of the body is, it is important. Your body is made up of little cells. Each cell is important. And that's how it must be in the church family. That you are an important part of the church family. If you're going to make a major difference, you must see yourself as an important. Don't see yourself as insignificant. Don't see yourself as, you know, negligible. You are not negligible. You are not negligible at all. Hallelujah. Tell the person sitting by you, you are an important part of the church family. Sometimes you are some way, but you are still part. And I need you. And you need me. Hallelujah. All right. So now, if indeed you are part of the church, if you are part of the church family and you are an important part of that body called the church family, you must ask yourself that, what role do I play? What is my function? Am I functioning? That's the question. Am I even functioning? Am I functioning in that church family? Because there are some people, they are part of it, but they are more like spectators. We came to watch and to observe and to see things and go. A lot of church members are like that too, spectators and commentators, making commentary about everything. Sometimes I listen to these so-called social commentators on radio and television, and I'm amazed at all the things they have to say. Like sports commentators, as they're analyzing, this person that, he should have passed the ball there, he should have done this, and they'll be insulting the coach. What kind of substitutions did he make? What formation was he playing? Why did he play 3-4-4 instead of 5-3-2? The changes were too late in the day. Sometimes I listen to them with a lot of interest. I said that beyond the math, what can you do when you are there yourself? That's why they say talk is cheap. Amen. I tell the person sitting by you, no more spectator spirit.
Yeah,
you must function and play your role well. Now, the next thing, making a major difference in the church family, the next thing is that you must develop a Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. If you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must develop a Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. Everybody say selflessness and humility. Say it again. Selflessness and humility. All right. What does it mean to be selfless? Help me. What does it mean to be selfless? To put others before yourself. Excellent. To be selfless means to give yourself wholly, in a certain sense, yes. All right. But really, to be selfless means to have little or no concern for yourself. To have little or no concern for yourself. Especially with regard to fame or position, money, etc. So you have little or no concern for yourself. That's what it means to be selfless. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must be selfless and you must be humble. These were qualities that Jesus Christ exhibited. And in Philippians chapter 2, 3-8, reading from the New King James Version, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3-8, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Did you see that? So, in essence, what we are being asked to do here is to be selfless and to be humble. All right? He said, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Don't just be interested in yourself alone. What you want, what you need, what will make you comfortable. Don't just be interested in that alone. Move beyond that and develop an interest. Be concerned about the needs of others. Be concerned about the interest of others. Then it goes on and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to show us what kind of mind was in Christ Jesus. It says, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus did everything that he did, accepted to come to pay the price for your sins and my sins, because he was selfless. It required humility, because now the creator of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen. The one whom the Bible describes as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. That scripture is referring to the Lord Jesus. For Him to have come down to do all of those things, it took selflessness and humility. That is why when they were torturing Him and beating Him, He didn't say that, "It's okay, I won't do it again, I'm going back." Well, when we were little, maybe your father would buy a football for you. Then you are playing with your friends. You have divided yourselves into two teams. But the team you are playing for is on the losing side. Then as you watch the way the game is going, you get annoyed. And said, "After all, what? The ball is for who? It's mine." So you catch, you take the ball, put it under your armpit, and you are off. So I won't play again. It won't work again. Jesus Christ could have decided and said that, "Look at these people. I made you. I created you. Now look at the way you are behaving towards me. Slapping me, beating me, torturing me. I'm going to the cross again. I'm going to my Father's house." Where would you and I have been? But because of His selflessness, He went through with it. And He did it out of love. But true love is selfless. If somebody really loves you, the person is prepared to make all kinds of sacrifices and go a long distance for you. That's true love. And Jesus was selfless. Not just that, He was humble, because it took Him humility to take the form of mortal man. So there's a song we sing. "You laid aside Your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those You have created. You took away my sin and shame, died and now today You reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship You, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am Yours. Forever and ever I will love You. You're the only one who died for me, gave Your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to You in adoration." Beautiful song. We should go back to them. The chants have become too much in the church of late. Everybody is chanting. Chanta, 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 chanta. Beautiful worship song. Look at it again. You laid aside Your majesty. He laid it aside. How can somebody lay His majesty aside? Only out of selflessness. Gave up everything for me. Suffered at the hands of those You have created. You took away my guilt and shame when You died and rose again. It was His selflessness and His humility that made Him go through all of that. And because He did that, the Bible says God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every other name, that at the mentioning of that name, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of His selflessness and humility, He's affected all of our lives, and he has made a major difference in our lives. It is all because of Jesus that we are here today. Hallelujah. He won us. That's what the song says. You have won my heart, and I am yours. So I'm explaining to you, my friends, that if we are going to make a major difference in our church families, we must have that Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. If you are selfish, the opposite of being selfless is being selfish. That's where you are only thinking about yourself. And that is the disease that most Christians have. Selfish. The body of Christ is made up of a bunch of spoiled and selfish people. Always thinking about themselves. What I can have, what I can get, what I can have, what I can, how I can, how I can consolidate my position. That's all they think about. That's what many of us think about. And there's never a question of, how can I make a difference? How can I make an impact? What can I contribute? What difference can I make? Selflessness and humility. I posted a video on the church page about this lady in a church whom the pastor was recommending, and was explaining that she's been in the church for so long, I think for 9 years. And over that period, the pastor has never spoken to her before. Hey, pastors, make God forgive us. How can somebody be a member of your church and you've not spoken to the person? Anyway, my mom, come on, too, because maybe the person is doing hide and seek. And there are some people like that. Yeah. We have some church members. It's very difficult to get to them and talk to them. When you ask them for their number, they said, oh, you give me your number, I will call you. Hey, what are you, Spider-Man or Batman? The mystery and the secret thing about you is too much. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Now, so this lady is in the church. Pastor has never spoken to her before, thanked her for anything that she does, but she's been serving faithfully in the church, you know, faithfully over 9 years. It is after 9 years that the pastor is engaging her, and he discovers to his shame that this person has been serving faithfully and I've just ignored her. But the intriguing thing about it is that it did not affect her. Because a lot of Christians, if you don't say thank you, don't say thank you for what they do, if you don't acknowledge them, or maybe you are acknowledging different people in the church and you don't mention their name, when we started the church, I was given citations. There are different people in the church, I called them. We prepared a citation for them and we handed it over to them. How many of you got some? You got some. Did you get some? Where is it? Have you framed it and hanged it in your room? Yeah. Paul, you received one. Sarah, you received one. James, you received one. Senior Mialeji also received one. You see, somebody also received. Now, we found out that there were people who were not happy. They felt that, Abba, we should also have collected some. Why did they give this person and they didn't give this other person? And people were very funny. And some people became funny after that. So since then, me ma citation be abio. Because at the church, it's a young church. And I cannot afford to have those issues. So if citation is going to bring problems, you let's hold on there. But why is it that people cannot serve happily and joyfully? And you see, we don't remember scriptures like, you know, whatever you do, as you do it in secret, God will reward you openly. And the reward, it comes from God. It comes from God. And people don't want to, I've noticed that people don't like to serve in places where they cannot be seen, where they cannot be noticed and acknowledged. It just shows that we are not selfless. It's like every time we have to sing your high praises. If we make a mistake of not acknowledging you, then your whole attitude becomes some way. Yeah. If we don't address you by the right title. I don't understand this whole title thing. I don't get it. I don't get it. I heard about, there are some people, they are so obsessed with titles and everything. Love it. You were called pastor and you were ordained as a reverend minister. Now, when the church members see you and they call you pastor, you are angry. Say, hey, let this be the last time that you call me pastor. I am a reverend. Call me Reverend Eshimeshi. Never call me pastor again. Have you heard? So now, if for any reason they take that reverend away, where are you going to pass? What's going to happen to you? Because why Jadiana Aswa Aboso? And it has become your everything. No. Please, if we are going to make a major difference in the church family, we must be selfless. We must be humble. And we must serve. Serve. We must have that Christ-like attitude. Let me show you the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Philippians 2, 19 to 21. And it was our last prayer topic for today's prayer rendezvous. From the New Living Translation, it says, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I, that is Paul, hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. Then he goes on to say, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. Then this is the part I want you to take careful notice of. It says, all the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. All the others. Paul had a lot of people working with him in the ministry. But at the point where he was writing this, he said something that smites my heart. He said, I have nobody like Timothy who will naturally care for you. It means that all the others, they don't naturally care for you. That means that their care for you, it's not natural. And for those of us who are pastors, and heads of departments and heads of smaller groups and units, church workers, church leaders, there is a certain natural care that must come from us towards the people we are leading. It must happen naturally. You must not go about the work just because somebody is looking or somebody is monitoring you. There are things that we must do that must come naturally. I'll tell you, one of the things I don't like is where we are working for God and now we have to fill forms and provide reports. There's nothing bad with it. There's nothing bad. There's nothing wrong with it. But you see, I feel that we should get to a place where without having to resort to forms and Google Sheets and spreadsheets to monitor people's work. We should be able to have church workers, pastors, leaders who do the work naturally, because they understand that the work that they are doing is not unto Pastor John Achu Awanyo, whose sister used to call him Bedemushi. If you ever call me that, you see what I'll do to you. Don't do the work as if I am the one who has employed you. Have I employed you? Have I employed you? Show me the employment letter. Show me your letter of employment. I'm not the one who has employed you. Your service is unto who? God. So when you are going about the work, as though you are working for me, Abolos. Because your master is Christ Jesus. So in everything that we are doing, we must do it unto the Lord. And Paul says, I have nobody like Timothy who will naturally care for your state. And the last part is that for all seek their own and not the things that are Jesus Christ. That's the reason why many Christians are unfruitful and are barren, and we are not doing much because of this thing that he said. Look at it again. For all seek their own. That's what? Selfishness. Is that not so? That's self-centeredness. That is the story of the average Christian. I'm telling you. We are seeking our own. We are only interested in ourselves. And to us, God should bless me, my wife, my children, and nobody else. That's your psyche. That's your mindset. You are only interested in yourself, your little family, your tiny life. That's the only thing you are. And you don't realize that there's something bigger. There's a bigger and a greater purpose to your life. Let me ask you, that this life that you've given yourself to, of just trying to have money to do this for yourself, to do this for your wife, to do this for your children, your mother, all of those other things, that thing, where really is it going to take you? Has it not occurred to you that it is temporary? That's what it is. It's a very temporary life. And we are here temporarily. We are not here permanently. Eternity awaits us. Does it not therefore make sense that our greatest concern and our greatest investment in this life must be towards eternity? Yet amazingly, that is the last thing we think about as Christians. As though, and we are living our lives as though we are going to be here forever. Forever. And in the dead, then a time will come that God will exit. And our lives here on earth is like a grain of sand on the seashore compared to eternity. What is a grain of sand on a seashore? Look at that vast sea coast and a grain of sand. But that is our lives. And yet amazing, them life on the Yafan Yezerbo World Cup, that become your whole focus. You are totally obsessed with that little grain. I'm not saying that don't work. I'm not saying that don't strive to have a good life and a comfortable life. Of course, you must have a comfortable life. But beyond that,
there should be something bigger and greater that drives you, that influences you. Don't just seek your own. Seek the things that are Jesus Christ. And if you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must develop that Christ-like attitude, same mind that Jesus Christ had. What mind was that? It was a mind of selflessness and a mind of humility. May God help us to be selfless, and may God help us to be humble. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for your word tonight. We recognize, Father, that we've been very selfish and self-centered in the way we've gone about our lives. We look at the price you paid to save us and what we have given in return. Because if we greatly value our salvation and all that you did for us, it should be seen by the kind of lives that we live, where we do not live any longer to ourselves, where we can get to the place and say that the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. I pray, Father, that you help us to put away that selfishness and self-centered nature of ours, and let us rise up, even in this church family, to make a major difference, to have a significant and a positive impact in the church and in the work that is going on. The reason why the church is not at a higher level than it is currently is because of our selfishness. For some of us, our pride. We can't say, we can't do anything. We feel that certain things are beyond us. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. Bring us into a new season of our Christian experience, where we will be committed to making a major difference in the church family by serving faithfully and diligently in different capacities, using the giftings and the abilities and the strengths that you've given to us. We are grateful to you, Father, today. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say, amen. Would you like to put your hands together for Jesus to show that you are not depressed?
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.